In my Episcopal church, we follow something known as the Revised Common Lectionary, and there's a little difference in the readings appointed for today. The gospel reading that we read is that last little bit of John's gospel where Jesus and Peter have that difficult conversation, and Jesus says to him again and again, "Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my lambs." And those are the words that have been with me as I've reflected on our time together today. For those of us who did not grow up in the city of Rome, and I'm going to guess that's pretty much all of us, maybe not you, there's something especially poignant being here on this day of all days. Being raised as I was in the middle of a country in a different hemisphere, the stories of the ancient church were to me kind of little more than abstractions, seem more the stuff of fiction than the reality of history. But here we are, worshiping together in the city in which both Peter and Paul were executed, among the first martyrs of our faith. And not just them, countless others across the centuries perished in this place because of the faith they had found and refused to surrender, a faith in a God of love and reconciliation made real in the resurrection of Christ. To be here in Rome, at least if you have any historical perspective at all, is to be humbled. The city has a way of reminding you how insignificant are your concerns and your worries in the vast sweep of human history. And if you are a person who, like me, has a job that obliges you to be thinking always about preserving and strengthening an institution, living in Rome is a daily cautionary tale. Lots of people before you did the same. Even the popes who put their names over the portals of these buildings, or the emperors who built the arcs to have triumphs through, are largely forgotten. So on this day of all days, it's worth reflecting deeply on the church God longs for, the church Christ prayed for, and the church Peter and Paul died for, and the church we have built. And as Anglicans, sharing a tradition with an incarnational theology but an institutional infatuation, that reflection necessarily involves the work of spiritual self-examination. I walked here this morning from a church dedicated to St. Paul, but nowhere in its beautiful artworks would you ever sense how problematic a figure Paul was to the early church. For many whose whole experience of the church had been to be ridiculed and persecuted and ostracized, Paul's first life as a leader of the persecution was never far from memory. Could he be trusted? What was he really up to? There was a sense of suspicion around Peter, too. At least he had been one of those closest to Jesus, but it wasn't at all certain how much of a rock he really was. My old New Testament professor, the Jesuit scholar Dan Harrington, used to speak of Peter as an imperfect man perfectly suited to build a church for imperfect people. He was hot-headed. In a moment of decision, he denied Jesus. What good would come of him? Those of us who come to a place like this to gather in worship are likely to speak of Peter and Paul in terms of the church they built. But it is by no means clear that they would recognize that church in the church we have built. We think in institutional terms about structures and committees and boards of governors and ordination requirements and safeguarding rules and pension plans. We speak in terms of the ways that our traditions have trained us to speak, using a glossary of spiritual language to talk about the structuring and distribution of power. But Peter and Paul were effectively powerless, at least in the measures of this world. This city made that plainly obvious by killing them like the snap of a finger. Rather than thinking in terms of institutions, they were absolutely on fire with ideas. ideas they wanted urgently to share with anyone who would listen, that the God of wrath and judgment had been revealed in Christ to be instead a God who works through the power of love to transform hearts and reconcile people divided by hatred, suspicion, and prejudice. That all people are imperfect, especially those whose rise through institutions beguiles them into believing that the institutions are more worth defending than the ideas they are supposed to proclaim. That just like Peter and Paul, we are still capable of persecuting our own and denying our Lord, even in the very church we now hold responsibility for, and that only Christ's love can help us, as it helped them, to see past our deepest convictions of our own righteousness and glimpse the justice of the kingdom God intends. I see those challenges in myself. I see how easy it is for those of us elected to the episcopate in my own church to become persuaded that of course this institution that elevated us must be preserved, because if it has elevated us to this role, there must be something deeply wonderful about it. I see how much easier it is for us in our life together as Anglicans to be far more worried about our grasping small advantages or feeling small slights than it is for us to dream about the missional response we could make to God here and everywhere if we worked and worshiped together. As we know, Peter and Paul argued, sometimes bitterly, whether because they came from different cultures or were guided by vastly different personalities, agreement was not their natural state. But in the end, what is most dramatic about their story and most powerful about their example is not that they disagreed, but that they reconciled. The cover of our leaflet today is a very Western image of the two of them, you know? But I'll bet all of us can bring to mind the icon that the Orthodox faithful gaze upon today. There's a copy of it hanging in the vestry room, an image that always depicts the two of them embracing in reconciliation. You know, just maybe the rock that Jesus spoke about was reconciliation itself. My sisters and brothers, we live on the threshold of an age in which our institutions will not matter unless they genuinely reflect the ideas that the God revealed in the risen Christ unleashed on the world. We live in days in which those ideas about the dignity and worth of all people, about a God who is revealed in and through love and who works through love and not force to accomplish justice, all those ideas are now questioned and challenged. Our institutions will be useless to defend them if they are first designed to preserve our privileges and not to reveal that God. So, let us always seek first to be reconciled to each other, that we may more eagerly preach and more effectively build the church Christ prayed we would be. Amen.